that you'll not let a familiar verse of Scripture rob you tonight of getting what God would have for you here tonight. In the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel, in verse 20, in our Bibles, on the life of David, and this has nothing to do with what I will be teaching, but I will be this coming February the 1st, we'll be Monday night, we'll be taking the life of David and showing you some mistakes and some victories that David had there, and I believe it will be a blessing to you. But it said David rose up early in the morning and he left the sheep with the keeper, and he took and he went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trenches. You know, I looked at that tonight, and the Bible said he came to the trenches. I know that never been a war ever won till somebody got in the trenches. Amen? Never been an enemy defeated in warfare until somebody got in the trenches. Bomb all you want to, do anything you want to, but somebody has got to get in the trenches. Amen? Got to have the infantry. Got to have the infantry. Have everything you want to. Got to have the infantry. The Bible said he came to the trenches. And as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. Shouted for the battle. Well, there was a shouters, but there was doubters, wasn't there? For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array. Army against army. David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and he ran into the army, and he came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of Philistine, and he spoke according to the same word, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, they saw, fled from him, and they were afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up? Have you seen this man? Have you seen this man?" I'd like to say that the thing that defeats every child of God is that which he sees.
Yes, sir.
Well, you said, "Brother Jack, God gave us sense enough to see." No, God gave you sense enough to believe.
Yeah, amen, brother.
Amen?
Amen?
Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And everything that God has told a child of God to do is impossible. He said, "You must be born again." That's impossible. Told you had to do it, though, didn't you get to heaven? Amen? Well, you say, "Well, it's God that does it." I know that. You said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." You said, "It's impossible." I know it is. That's why faith is the only thing that can do it. Amen?
Amen?
Go and build churches and disciple men. You said, "It's impossible." I know it is. But with God, all things are possible. The men of Israel said, "Have you not you seen this man? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father a house free in Israel." And David spoke to the men that stood by him and said, "What shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" "Yeah, who is it? Why, have you saw him?" And he said, "No, but who is it? Who is it?" Whoever he was insignificant to David. You said, "Why, Brother Jack, he wasn't busy in the warfare. He'd been down there talking to God. The backside of nowhere." I don't know, but I believe even David's daddy had not a lick of confidence in David. I don't believe that David's daddy talked to him. If it was anything to him, he said, because you remember when they started anointing him, he said, I got another little boy down there, you know, he's a nobody. Insignificant to his daddy. He wasn't insignificant to God. And that which looks so insignificant to you and I is mighty in the hand of God. You see? That young lady stood up back there a while ago, Mary, and to the world, a little mission out there in Monterey. You said, "That's insignificant. What will ever happen?" Now, then God just saved somebody. Call me a missionary. That's all that happened. That's all that happened. Oh, you said, "Brother Wood, I just don't see much going on." Well, it's going on anyhow, whether you see it or not.
Amen. Amen.
You said, "Are you going to defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to that man to kill him." Everybody here knows what happened. Everybody here knows the whole story. You know that David killed this giant. You know that. You studied ever since you was in a little primary class. You know that he killed that giant. And I want to ask you tonight, how did he win the victory? That's what I want to know. I'm not interested in the story, in the fact, but what happened in the life of David that caused him to have victory over this great giant? Well, if we look back here just a little bit in our Bibles right quickly, we'll say that we see that David there in the 16th chapter in verse 12, it said he sent and he brought him in, talking about David. Now he was ruddy and of a beautiful countenance and godly to look, goodly to look upon. And the Lord said, arise and anoint him, for this is he. He said, how'd he whoop that giant? God said, this is him. I'll tell you how he whooped that giant. He was anointed by the Spirit of God. He was sanctified by God Almighty. And God had set him apart for the job.
Amen.
And when he got in the middle of that giant, he just said, well, I just come in the name of the Lord God of Israel.
Amen.
I mean, he said, I'd like you to know that my Father called me to do this job. And what I'm fixing to do is not in my power and my strength, but God Almighty. And down went the giant. Why, Brother Jack? Because God had sanctified this man and called him and set him apart for the job that the Father had for him to do. And it doesn't make any difference tonight when God comes to a young Mexican boy like he did Brother Albert back there and his wife Mary, and he calls him, or he goes up to West Point and gets a cadet out of the school in West Point and calls him. It don't make God a bit of difference. God calls who he pleases, but the thing is God hand on him. And nothing else will make any difference. Educate him all you want to. Teach him everything you want to. Train him all you want to. But unless God touches him, there ain't going to be a thing happen, honey. And whatever happens, it'll go down the tube. Because man will have to do it. And what man does don't please God. David was sanctified by the Spirit of God. He was called of God. You say, well, that's good, brother. Well, I believe I was called of God. But when he walked out there, God said, Samuel, this is he. The reason I make it isn't what your eye says, but does the man of God recognize you as the man that God wants to use?
Amen.
You better get that tonight. He said, Samuel, this is he. And God said, I will not do anything unless I reveal it to my prophets. That's what God said. God did it. Amen, Brother Wood. Amen, Brother Wood. And you remember, Paul was going to do the same thing, and he took John Mark, but God did not say, this is he. He said, separate me, Paul, and Barnabas will work when I called them, and God called them, and they took John Mark, but John Mark came back. Amen. Why did he come back? One time. God had not called him for that job. He called Paul and Barnabas.
Amen.
Now, I don't even have to ask. I know Brother Bob has been on the field 14 or 15 years. And Brother Bob traveling around. You probably took one or two down there with you. And they came back. And when they come back, they brought back an evil report and said, well, Paul down there did it. Barnabas did it, Bob Hawk did it, Jack Woods did it, and many times because the Spirit of God did not call them at that time, but this man had a call of God on him, he was recognized by the prophet, and even the world knew. Amen? And what happened when Saul got killed? The Archite grabbed the crown and run up and said, King David! He knew God had set him apart. The whole world knew that God. His brothers knew they so backslide he didn't recognize. Okay. So David was sanctified by the Spirit of God. But David was scorned by his brethren. His brethren said, why don't you get back and take care of them sheep? You just a little knothead, you get out and take care of them sheep. You got some little sheep you're supposed to be taking care of. Well, I tell you, honey, when the Holy Ghost moves on you, sheep taking care is over. Huh? Yeah. It looks like they needed a little help. Because what they was doing, they wasn't getting it done. Amen?
Amen?
And they were scorned by their brethren. And any time God ever gets on a man, the brethren are not going to understand. You might as well write that down in your book. You might as well chew it up and take it. When the Spirit of God moves on a man, the brethren are going to say, hey, what are you doing up here? Why, did you come up here to show off? He could have said, my Father sent me. Because his father told him, said, go up there and check on your brethren and see how it goes. And so I'll tell you why he was there. The father had commissioned him to go. And And he was doing exactly what his father told him to do. And he brought the food up there to him, heard all the cussing going on, and figured they wasn't going to fight. Somebody had to fight the giant. Amen? And so the brethren said, you see, they were scared to death. There's two things that the brethren will not forgive you of. That's failure and success. Amen. Amen. He was scorned by the brethren. They ridiculed him. They railed upon him. They ran him out. He's a ruined man. The brethren. They just couldn't stand him. But now I want you to notice something, if you will. They questioned his ministry. They even questioned his motive. And they even questioned his methods. Amen? Question everything you've done. Question everything you've done. The brethren scorned him. Now, I want you to notice something in the third thing here, that David was strengthened by his past experiences. You better let this soak in that, because you ain't going very far. You're going to need it. And David was strengthened by his past experiences. There are some experiences that I had back a few years back, and God gave me victory there. And those victories can become stepping stones or pitfalls, either one. You can have a victory tonight, and tomorrow that victory can become a pitfall and fill you full of pride, or that stepping stone. Or you can step up and say, thank you, Lord, and it can just become, and you can step up again and again and just go higher and higher and higher with God. This little boy, he's just coming along doing what his father told him. And he had them some cheesecake and what have you, and whatever they need to drink, and he come up there, and they said, battle's going on. He began to remember them. He said, I believe I can handle it. You think you can? Yeah, he said, I'll tell you, I was down there one night, and a lion came, past experience. He said, but I was down there by myself, boys, and y'all wasn't there. He said, I met the devil head on. He said, come up and grab one of my sheep. He said, ain't never been known about taking them away from David. You know, David's just kind of a favorite character, man. You said, he sure did live sorry. I know, about like some modern Christians. Amen. He's just kind of up-to-date feller. Amen. You know, we don't want to confess. We're all in the same shape. Amen. But he was strengthened by his past experiences. He had fought a bear. He fought a lion. Oh, that's great. But I'm going to tell you something. He laid on the backside of nowhere and fought the lonely life of a believer. Nobody came and cheered him on. The brethren wasn't with him when they went up there to anoint somebody king. They had to go find him. He lived a lonely life. In my heart, there's something in my heart tells me that David just wasn't accepted like the other brethren that he had. Not even in his father's house. But you know, when those things are happening, the Heavenly Father knows what He's preparing us for and getting us ready for. You say, I'm living a lonely life here. Just hang on, honey. Just hang on. You'll find out what loneliness really means. You stay with God. You say, Brother, when I don't have a friend with, just hang around. Hang around. You're in for some surprises. It gets lonelier as you go. Oh, you say, well, I'm going to quit now. But he got strengthened by his past experiences. Now, a lot of times, our experiences are bad. Get strengthened by them. I mean, use that past experience, whether it's good or bad. Use it as a stepping stone to go closer to God. I don't care what it is. David's life, he learned this thing. That past experiences could be a real strength to a man of God. He fought a bear, he fought a lion. But he remembered the nights that he had spent with God. He got out yonder and he said, man, he said, I went outside to meet that bear at night. Who was with him, Brother Wood? God was out there. I can see him sitting out there by himself, picking out whatever he played at heart, and singing, and talking to God. Him and God having communion together. There's going to come a day. The life that David lived as a young boy, it came a day when he needed that more than he needed anything else in his life. When they began to run him, and Saul run him, until he was 30 years old. You study it? Until he was 30, he run, and he run, and he run, and he needed those lonely days that he spent on the backside of nowhere, and the
brethren didn't want him, and daddy didn't want him. Nobody wanted it, but God cheered his heart. And finally, when it comes time to write the book of Psalms, God said, sit down, lonely boy, I got something to say to the whole world. God said, write. The boy began to write them sweet Psalms. It's been through many a prison and jail and heartache with many a believer. How many believers walked up and said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How many children of God that just went to the old psalm and it just a psalm to your heart? Anyone? Why? Because David learned how to be comforted by God. He remembered the nights with God. He remembered the power of God on many occasions. Many occasions when it looked like his life was in conflict with a wild beast, God was right there. When Mom and Dad and all the brothers would sit up at the house having a big time, sleeping in a warm bed, David's out on the winter night, sleeping with his sheep, talking to God. Isn't it strange that we don't read nothing about his brothers ever doing nothing for God? Huh? His brothers never done nothing for God. Why? They never did learn how to live with God. So they just stayed around the house and lived one nut. Shot the breeze. Played pinochle or something. He said, I turned to talk to God. You say, I really feel sorry for David. I do too. Didn't have nobody to talk to but God. And you don't have nobody to talk to but your grandma and grandpa. David was strengthened by his past experiences. But David was sustained by the word of God. If you look in your Bibles for just a minute in 1 Samuel 17, in chapter 17 and verse 45. Man, 1 Samuel 17:45, yeah. I got my Bible right with me, amen. 1 Samuel 17:45, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spirit and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I'll give thy carcasses to the field. Verse 47, and all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spirit, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give me into your hand, our hands. He just come by the word of God. I don't care. It's not going to be very long until your life is going to come to a point that only the word of God can sustain you. I've came many times in my life when God's presence was gone. I've come many times when every friend was gone. But I've never come to a time in my life when the word of God was not there. Well, that's the blessedest thing that God ever gave a man, is that book.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something, when you can't find a glorious path, just walk in the last news that you heard from glory. And it will sustain and keep you and direct your life and develop your life into what God wants you to be. And David learned to be sustained by the word of God. And I'm going to tell you something. Linda, the cow had a calf out there the other day and the cow died. And David's out there working the old crazy cow and she's dead. I told her, I said, that cow's going to die. And Linda took that baby calf and they went down there to the store and spent $14 to buy milk, some kind of special cow milk. And they said that calf was just hopping around yesterday, just doing great. And this morning he was dead at 4 o'clock. Because you see, it's hard to raise a one-day-old calf on a substitute. You see, when God made a cow, or any animal, the minute that calf, that first 2 days that he takes that milk, there's something in that milk that is a complete antibiotic. Do you know that it's nearly impossible, Brother Danny, for a horse, suck his mama and get distemper? It's impossible. Because there's an antibiotic in there that God put in there. It was made for his stomach to put all the resistance out of his body. And you get all the substitutes you want to, and usually the next thing you need is a shovel. Same way the child of God. You get all the substitutes you want to, get your friends over, get you a counselor, get everybody you want. But when it's all said and done, you've got to have this book. If you ain't got that book, it'll not sustain you in time of trouble. But David learned when trouble comes, that book is sustained. Ooh, hallelujah. I like that. I like it. Not by schemes. Not by schemes. Not by organizations. Not by techniques. Not by a well-barred armor. By the word of God. He said, I come in the name of the Lord. My soul, I like that. No help from the brethren. This king, the military, nobody helped him. He said, in that name. What happened, preacher? Just sustained by the word of God. And I tell you, that's something. But then, you know, I want you to notice something about David. David was successful by faith. Boy, I tell you what. When God began to deal me in a motel about this thing, David was successful by faith. And you're never going to be successful but by one way. That's by faith. You're not going to do nothing except by faith. I got so tickled at them. What do you call them? Midwesterns? I want to call them Yankees. They say yard, dog. But I guess they're Midwesterns, huh? And you know what they're doing tonight? They're scared to death that Brother Bud's going to leave up there. They're just like this. And they took up a big pound and put them in groceries in, you know, and everything. And they're scared to death. And I got them. I said, hey, you bunch of crazy Yankees. I said, he ain't going nowhere. I said, this nut's worse than a bulldog. I said, he'll die right here. Boy, them people just lit up, you know. They thought it was snowing. He's going somewhere. See, they had four or five of them going preachers. They go, gone. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, boy, they going. I mean, they gone. You never notice about David. He never lost a battle. Except with himself. Paul studied this thing all week. Never lost a battle. He just checked and said, Father, what do you want me to do? He said, it's okay. One day he went there and said, Lord, I'm fixing to jump on him. Lord said, don't go up there. He said, yes, sir. He started building a house one day. Hey, Lord, I'm going to build your house. God said, no. He said, thank you. He said, what do you want me to do? He said, just get the materials. He said, boy, you ain't got gold, brass, silver, and everything. And boy, I mean, just got piled all up there. I mean, just piled and piled and piled. I mean, had tons of gold, tons of silver, tons of brass, tons of iron. Hang on, Adam. He said, he knew the mind of God. He knew the will of God, that God was going to move out of a tabernacle, and God was going to move in a temple, and he's going to help God out. And God said, nope. Killed too many people. Their hands have been too bloody. I'm going to let you do that. They said, yes, sir. I'm going to be a missionary. You can't go. Going anyhow. I'm going to be a preacher. You ain't no preacher. I'm going to preach anyhow. They spent 20 years trying to brace it up. So you can't go. He said, yes, sir. Ain't a going. Huh? Never made a foundation to build a house. But in the book of Revelation, God never mentioned Solomon's name. He said the root of David's house. That was David's house. God put it in David's house to build that house. And David got all the credit for building the house. Boy, I like that. I like that. He just done what God said to him. God said no. He said, yes, sir, Captain. Because he knew he wasn't going to build a house, build low, unless God got on the scene. David done knew. Everything David tried to do was impossible. But he was successful by faith. Zechariah 4:6, it said, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Oh, yeah, we believe that sometimes. He said, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conquerors. Listen tonight, we're victors. We're deliverers through him that loved us. Thank God tonight. He always calls us to triumph over hell, death, and the grave every time. We're victors tonight in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. David was successful by faith. He said, how did he win? He knew the victory. And he had the victory. Some of y'all don't look like y'all got the victory. I don't know, maybe you're tired. Some of y'all look kind of sad. Some of you look kind of bad. And some of you look kind of glad. Hallelujah for you. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something now. You can sit there and look like your mother-in-law moved in and going to stay 6-7 months, won't you? I'm going to tell you what, God is the victor.
He's the victor. I mean, and listen, when these problems come on David, and God said, no, you can't build a house. He said, yes. What are you going to do?
David walked up and he's going to fight a battle. And God said, don't fight. He said, yes, sir. He just backed that army back and said, back up. And God said, go up the other way. He said, yes, sir.
You see, David, sometimes he didn't do what God wanted him to do. And sometimes he did some things he shouldn't have done. But somehow or another, he was a friend of God. Because when God told him to do something, he done it. And when God spoke to that man's heart, and you don't catch David always running here and running there and running yon. I mean, just God said, do it, David. He said, yes, sir, come. God used him to the very end. Now, David was successful by faith. And I'm going to give you something tonight. I'm going to give you something tonight in these last two things here. There's a giant laying there dead. And David would stand up on that giant, and he could say, well, I'm an old man now, and I don't want to be cruel and mean, and I'm not going to cut his head off. And he said, whack, 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 and he got his head off. He threw his head over his shoulder, and blood dripping down his back. He had that big giant's head in his hand. He's a hippie. Had him by the hair. That's right. Had him by the hair. What about him, sir? He's a hippie. His first hippie. No, his second hippie. David had a hippie named Absalom. He was the first one. And his hair got him killed. Amen? But David was successful by faith. But when he was successful by faith, he had spectators looking on. And I'm going to tell you something, Christian. Some of y'all older Christians, some younger Christians sitting here looking on. And every time you lose a battle, they know all about it. And every time you walk in this church defeated, stepping on your lip, they know all about it. And every time you got $200 of rent due and you can't pay it, everybody in the church knows all about it. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. But David had spectators looking on. Jonathan was looking on. And I'll tell you what he did to Jonathan. The Bible said Jonathan loved him as he loved his own soul. And when Saul kicked him out, he didn't go out by himself. There was some men in there believed just like he did. Some men of God, them spectators that watched him kill that giant, said he's God's man. He's a fighting man. He ain't a scared. He's a faithful man. And God can sustain him in his time of trouble. Spectators looking on. Jonathan was looking on. All Israel was looking on. I'm going to tell you something. Saul was looking on. I'm going to tell you tonight, the enemy was looking on. The spectators standing around there looking. There's some spectators looking at us tonight. We told the world what we was going to do. We didn't tell them what we was going to do in November. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to warn you tonight, Christian. If you don't want to do nothing, don't tell God you're going to do it. I mean, if you ain't going to give $5, Brother Craig, don't tell him you're going to do it. I'm going to tell you this. I've never said nothing about it. But don't you tell nobody you're going to do anything unless you're going to do it. Because an old man of God who's been down there a quarter of a century comes in here and sits down, 20 people raise their hands and say, I'm going to do so and so. And if you don't do it, it's not what you've done. That old man of God walked out of here and he was expecting you to do what you said. But your Heavenly Father, he was expecting you to do what you said too. I don't care if it's just a dollar. Just do what you said. And if you can't do what you said, be a man. Just write and say, my dear brother, I'm sorry, but I cannot do what I said. I let my mouth up, and I'm sorry, and I want you to forgive me. Just write a letter. Amen, by the way. The rest of y'all say amen, too. You might as well. You know, I'll hit it again. David had spectators looking on. And David had surrendered lives to him. The Bible said he had 600 men whom God had touched their hearts. There ain't many preachers living today that's ever had the privilege to have 600 men and God had touched every one of them's heart. The Bible said he was in debt, he was destitute and distressed. But the Bible said God touched him. They just come and said, David, here we are. Where you live, we'll live. Where you go, we'll go. And they run him up in the caves. They set up in them caves, backed up in them caves. And old David said, well, God, sure like to have a drink of water. It's about that time. One of the brethren said, King, I got you a drink. And old David looked at that water.
He looked at them men standing in front of him, godly men, wasn't scared of nothing. He took that drink of water and looked at it. He wanted that drink of water. He said, my men jeopardized their lives for him. He said, I couldn't drink that water. I dedicated it to the Lord.
They were surrendered to the leader. Don't you worry about a drink of water, honey. David poured his out the same way. He said, I will not drink it. My men jeopardize their lives for
it. As I love my own soul, goodbye now. While I run back and sleep in the king's house. And he went over late and hung sleep. And the next day he said, there you go. Just I love you, I love you, I love you. It's been 3 times since I brought that water in. Never said a word, but I love you. Walked up there and said to him, leader, get you a drink of water. He said, whoo!
Talk's cheap.
Yes, it is.
Talk's cheap. You can raise your hand and say anything. But to do what God wants you to do, surrender that life. Put it in God's hand. Put it in the child. In the life of the man of God. And Father, like God wants us.
Boy, I can see him. David was just 30, just a young man. They began to take over that kingdom. He didn't go down to Jonathan's house to find somebody to take over. He had some fighting men that had been with him all in years, 30 of them. If you want, Mike, if you want a real blessing tonight, just go home and read about those 30 men. Just take their lives. And it said one of them went down in a hole and with his bare hands and fought a lion. You talking about a fighting man. You talking about Tom Mix. You talking about Hoop Gibson and Hopalong Cassidy. Huh? Amen. Bible said one of them grabbed a spear and let a bear right in the middle of the road. Man, I'm talking about 30 men that he made generals, but those are men that God had touched their heart, and they'd followed him through the rocks and the caves and foreign country in exile, if you please, and out of their homeland. But they followed the leader. Not when it was going good, when it was going bad. Finally came a day. David is sitting on the throne, and he didn't go look for nobody. He had him somebody that God had knit their hearts together. And he said, boys, you take over this army. Oh, Joab, you take over this army. Fighting men. God help us tonight. I got a bunch of little sissies. Brother Wood, I'll be with you till the end. And the end came quick. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Isn't it wonderful tonight? Isn't it wonderful to be on the winning side? Boy, I tell you what, I seen in the paper yesterday where they was tearing up San Francisco. They said, we're a winner. Man, I've been tearing up the paper for 29 years. I'm a winner. Man, I'm done heading to the Super Bowl, honey. And don't even have to play the game. Don't even have to play the game. Listen, I'm already a victor. David said, I just come in the name of the Lord God of Israel. What? Boom, bam, he hit the ground. Well, hallelujah. He had 600 men. Jonathan had a 6-foot grave. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. David had the victory. Yes, he was sanctified by the Spirit of God. Scorned by his brethren. Strengthened by his past experiences. Sustained by the Word of God. Successful by faith. The spectators stood looking on. And surrendered their lives to him and said, we are following. He's a man of God. Our Father, we come to you tonight in Jesus' name and realize that in the Word of God there's a many a blessing for us. We pray, Father, that you'd speak to hearts and speak to us, Lord. The victory is ours. The victory's already been won. The victor already sits on the throne tonight. And we're made to sit with him in heavenly places. God, speak to that heart tonight that's drooping. Speak to that heart that needs to go back to the old book to sustain them through this trial contest. God, speak in this hour with our hearts.
then that one is not saved, that one that don't know God tonight. That one that's never been to Calvary, never been saved tonight, we pray that you speak to that soul tonight about our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand, please. Page 67 in your songbook. Todd, you can look at the word, son. Page 67.
Nearer, my God, to Thee.
Sing this other song. This past week, I was with an old man, 79 years old. He said, "Brother Jack, in a few days, I'll be 80. Had the clearest mind of any 80-year-old man that I'd ever talked to. Wore a suit of clothes, wore a tie. He said, "I've been a deacon nearly 50 years. He said, "Brother Jack, I put 40-some years Ford Motor Company as an executive. And he said, my wife and I, worked in a rescue mission in Detroit, Michigan, 42 years. He said, I was a deacon in the church there. He told me to pastor a real man of God, Brother Lehman Strauss. He said, one man pastored me 40 years, was my pastor. He told me his name. He said, I was a member at one church. And he said, you know, as I went through that mission and saw kids saved and we fed the hungry, and he said, man, and he said, I had a lot of problems with a lot of trials. But he said, I moved here to Omaha 6 years ago. Said, my wife and I were retired and I was 73 years old. We moved out here. My daughter lives here. And he said, Brother Wood, 3 years ago, he said, my wife, he said, man, we've worked together and raised 26 orphan children. 26 orphan children. Said she's loved God and served God. And he said, 3 years ago, preacher, said she went home and said she's never got out of the house. She won't go to the store. She won't go downtown. She won't talk to our daughter. She don't have nothing to do with nobody. Said, I've even had a doctor come out and sit down and talk with her. Many preachers and counsel, and said she's just as sweet, just as kind, and reads her Bible hour after hour, and her mind just as clear. And he said, we cannot figure out what's wrong. But he said, I know this. This is the greatest trial that I've ever had in my nearly 50 years that I've been saved. And I just said that to say this. You're not going through this life without trials. And when you get 70 or 75, or like Brother Matthew, 79, you're going through some more. This life is full of trouble. Amen? Maybe one thing to do is just find somebody that wants to go with you, who will stick closer than a brother,
and just stay real close to Him. And say, "Now, Lord, I know I'm going to encounter some things that I don't understand. Thank God I'm with You." And this old man began to tell me. He said, "You know, back yonder years ago, Brother Woody," he said, "when Brother Cronberry was our pastor, 41 years, he said, we'd go up on the big lakes up here in northern Michigan. So we'd have those big Bible conferences. He said, my wife, and he said, there'd be 100 families a lot of times go. He said, he'd get 2 or 3 preachers in. And he said, I remember how they just fed our soul. He said, preacher, I've needed every gift that they ever gave me. I've had to use it as I went through this life. A lot of problems, Brother Jack. A lot of problems. That life, don't you? That life, don't you? A lot of Christians like that. There's ain't enough juice in there. They're fixing to blow up. Ain't nobody see nothing. You turn all the rest of the lights out, it'll be dark in here. Cause a lot of static around the church. Better get a hold of something real. Better get a hold of something real. Because you ain't going very far. Doesn't have it. The devil will see to that. And if he don't, your Heavenly Father will. Your Heavenly Father will let it happen.
I said, "Well, Lord," he said, "yeah, hello." And he said, "Lord, why'd that happen?" He said, "I thought if it happened, you'd get a little closer to me and I'd talk to you.
Because, you know, the last 2 or 3 months ain't nothing happening. Me and you ain't even been speaking to her. Man, it's good to see you again.
Where you been?"
"Lord, where have you been?" "Nowhere. I've been right here waiting on you, son. Get back." Isn't it funny how quick we can get to it? Fever goes up a little bit. Boom, man, we right back. Amen. That baby busts her nose, you know, or takes pneumonia. Woo! Man, we right back. See, our Father made us that way. He wants us to walk with Him. He makes us completely dependent upon Him. That's what David did. Man, what David faced, we're going to study in school. What David faced, he had to be sustained by the Word of God. Well, let's pray. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight in Jesus' name for the Word of God that went out here tonight. We just realize that You spoke to many hearts, and we thank You for it. And Lord, we pray that You'll teach us, Lord, to feed on the Word of God and the things of God. Talk about the things of God, past experiences, and draw on the experiences of our brothers and our sisters. God, speak in this hour, and may the will of God be done in each and every life. We'll praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.